The Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The second reading this morning is from the New Testament, Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the first letter, chapter 14, from verses 1 through to 5. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries of the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather that you have prophecy. The person who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
As a sign of respect, could we all stand, please, for the reading of the Gospel? The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 17, beginning from verse 1 through 8. Praise and glory to God. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples had heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said, "don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. This is the Gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word.
So, would you please be seated? Well, like any good Kiwi boy, I grew up and spent many days and weeks at the beach, and got a surfboard and started surfing when I was a kid, and enjoyed the surf immensely, just like many of us do. Love going to the beach, enjoying the waves. I went off to London and lived there nearly 20 years, and the only tubes that I'd caught there were the ones underground. Although we did have a couple of soirees down to Cornwall where we went surfing, and actually my wife, Sarah, was brave enough to come on a boys' surfing trip, and it was, I think it was our first kiss, which was rather nice. lovely. So coming back to New Zealand, obviously straight back into it and back into the sea and the waves, which I missed immensely. And so I bought myself a board, and I'd go out surfing. And not as young and fit as I was, and I'd paddle like crazy and, you know, catch an occasional wave. But all of a sudden, a few years ago, there was just older, fatter men coming past me on these stand-up paddle boards, and they were just catching wave after wave, and here I was like, nothing. And like, as they say, they were much older and much more bigger than me, and I thought, man, I've got to get me one of those. And so I did, and I've never looked back, so it's wonderful. Stand-up paddleboard surfing, it's my happy place where I go out into the waves and just enjoy catching great sets. I wonder if you know that waves, sets of waves in the sea, they usually come around about three or four waves at a time, and then there's a lull. Maybe you might get five, maybe up to seven. But usually it's around three or four decent ones, and you got to pick the right one. You don't go for the first one. Usually you just wait, but you can see them coming, and you can actually see them coming better when you're on a stand-up paddleboard, because you can see much further than when you're lying down on one, and you get further out the back as well. You just have to be careful not to run over surfers. They get really grumpy. When you're nicking all the waves, you sort of stay away from them. Otherwise, brawls pursue out in the way. I know they do. They do. I've seen it's bad. Anyway, right now, I tell you all this because right now around the world, a wave of prayer has begun. It began on Ascension Day. Thy kingdom come, instigated by the Archbishops of York and Canterbury 3 years ago, in 2016. I've been into it ever since, every Ascension to Pentecost, catching a wave of prayer. I wonder if you've got your board out. I wonder if you've got your board out and you're catching this wave of prayer. Because if you're not, you're missing out on something that God is doing around the world right now between Ascension Day and Pentecost on June the 9th. It's a prayer wave where millions of Christians are praying, Thy kingdom come, asking for the Holy Spirit to come in power upon the church, praying for each of us, praying for five unbelieving people that we may know to come to know the Lord. And here, of course, the prayer wave is going through St. Margaret's here, and 24/7, I believe, is part of that wave of prayer. So do sign up. And let's pray for a tsunami of God's love to come sweeping through us. Let us pray. Almighty God, your ascended Son has sent us into the world to preach good news of your kingdom. Inspire us with your Spirit and fill our hearts with the fire and water of your love, that all who hear your word may be drawn to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. True story about a young, successful estate agent. He thought Christianity was a waste of time. One Sunday, he was invited to church by a friend, and during the service, someone who was listening to the Spirit had a word of knowledge, and it went like this. He wrote it down, it was read out. There's a man here who is expecting a soft top sports car to be delivered in the next 2 days. He has worked all his life so hard to achieve success. Work has been his life. He's got the car, the house, the lifestyle, and he's not happy. God wants him to know that there's something more important for him to focus on. A specific word of knowledge that was written down and read out in the service. Well, sometime later, that young estate agent wrote these words. I couldn't believe it. My new car was the nicest that I'd ever bought. It was arriving in literally 2 days, and I hadn't told anyone. I was earning $200,000 a year. My work was my life. That night, for the first time in my life, I really prayed. And then that young man encountered Jesus Christ and was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he writes this, now I know Jesus does exist. He loves me and he is with me. So there is someone who heard a word of knowledge and delivered it, was listening to God. And today our talk is listening to the Spirit. And it's important for us to think about it because we live, don't we, in such a busy and noisy world. There's so many distractions. And in the midst of all the noise and the talk and the distractions, the question is, how do we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? Well, as I was thinking about this, I came across the fact that the word listen is actually, it's an acronym for silent. An anagram. Thank you, sir. Silent and listen has the same letters in it. So really that does say something to us about listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I came to the Lord back in the early 80s, and it was such a great time because I was taught from the very beginning to have something called a quiet time. It's old school, but I was so glad that I was taught to do this. Do you know what a quiet time is? Every morning, before the day begins, before you talk to anyone, you have a quiet time. A time set aside, sitting down and simply being still, reading a little bit of the Bible, listening to the Spirit, and praying for the day ahead. I'm so glad of that. And I've had a quiet time every day. It's like breathing, it's like breakfast. And I'd encourage you, if you don't have a quiet time, a time before you get into the day, I'd really encourage you to develop a quiet time in your life. It is so special. It is putting God first and the opportunity to listen to the Spirit for the day ahead, praying for meetings or people or things like that. Have a quiet time. Paul encouraged the Corinthian church in these things of listening to the Spirit, seeking God. And the two things that he underlined to the church was the importance of the gifts and the way of love. It was gifts and love, love and gifts together. Follow the way of love, Paul wrote, and eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. And then he says, especially the gift of prophecy. Now, some people say, well, we should desire the giver and not the gifts. But when we desire the giver automatically says to us, desire the gifts, especially prophecy. And it's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which is so incredibly important because the Spirit speaks to the church through the gift of prophecy. It's an important gift. Even more, Paul says, more important than speaking in tongues. Now, the reading in Corinthians is about speaking in tongues. Paul writes, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy, he says in verse 5. Now, although Paul was speaking into a situation in the Corinthian church where the gift of tongues was in danger of misuse. They were into tongues in a big way. Every time they had a meeting, there was people babbling away in spiritual language and tongues all over the place. And Paul was like, you know, this is just too much. This is just too much going on. You know, it's not our danger, is it? Not at all. Speaking in tongues, I think we're at the other extreme. You hardly ever hear the church speaking in tongues or singing in tongues. And Paul says, I want every one of you, he says, to speak in a spiritual language, to have this gift. Paul says that those who pray in tongues edify themselves, verse 4, and it's a good gift for everyone, says Paul in verse 5. Now, a spiritual language, speaking in tongues, is a way of praying in the Spirit. Personally, I love this gift, and I use it so often in my private prayer times. When I run out of things to pray, if I go for a prayer walk, if I'm praying for someone, I will pray in tongues. Speaking in tongues is a gateway gift, I've discovered, and if you receive the gift of tongues, and God wants to give it to everyone, it's a gateway gift, and it opens up the speaker to more gifts of the Spirit. Tongues is a gateway gift, especially leading to speaking prophetic words, words of knowledge. There's a great definition of prophecy that I've come across. Prophecy is the ability to listen and to hear what God is saying and pass it on to others. So Paul is saying prophecy is a spiritual gift of high importance to the church. And Paul writes it should be eagerly desired. Now the word eagerly desired in the Greek literally translates to long for it with all your guts. That's the phrase that Paul is saying. And I do ask myself, I wonder, do I long for the gift of prophecy with all my guts, with all my being, with everything within me? I can honestly say I don't. But through these words, I'm encouraged to do that, to long and eagerly desire the gift of prophecy, because it is such an incredibly important gift of the Spirit. For the church. It's not necessarily about foretelling the future. It's usually foretelling what God is saying into the current situation. And so what a prophetic word is simply a particular word that's inspired by the Spirit, given to a particular person or persons at a particular moment for a particular purpose. And I mentioned the guy earlier on, the estate agent. And it was a prophetic word, a word of knowledge given, and that young man came to the Lord. Prophetic words, as it says in the reading of Corinthians, they are given to strengthen, encourage, and comfort people. They're not given to tear people down or hurt people. And if you do happen to have a word of knowledge or a prophetic word, and you're unsure, then we don't act hastily and blurt it out. But what we do is we follow Mary, the mother of Jesus' example, and we do what she did. She simply waited, and she pondered it in her heart. In other words, you know, we don't, you know, go up to someone and say, "God has told me." It's like, "Oh, really? He hasn't told me that." We say something like, "Well, I would, you know, be apologetic and say, look, I sense that I have this word maybe, and it's probably wrong, it's probably completely out there, but can I share it with you? And I just feel God is wanting to encourage you through it, but do pray about it." You know, that's the approach, isn't it? It's not, you know, "Thus saith the Lord." It's just humbly and winsomely going up to someone who you feel that you have a word for, a word of comfort, a word of strengthening, and a word of encouragement. I came to the Lord, as I mentioned, in 1983. And it was through the prophetic act of a pastor as they celebrated communion. I just happened to wander into a church one day after a very long and crazy weekend partying, and I ended up in this service, and God spoke into my life. I was saved and set free from addictions and loneliness. At the time, I didn't know anyone in London. I had no money, and I met someone in the church, Helen. And she let me sleep on their couch, in their living room, because I had nowhere to go. Helen was in a choir, and she invited me to join the choir. And I had this new ability to sing. I'd never sung really before, and I just wanted to sing to the Lord. And so I joined the choir, and it was singing with a guy called Luis Palau, who was a great South American evangelist who was in town at that time. And I got to sit night after night listening to Luis Palau just coming to the Lord, and then listening to this great preacher preach the gospel every night for a whole week. There was great grounding in the gospel. I didn't have a job. I met someone in that choir called Teresa, and she was the nanny for a very, very wealthy family. And they were looking for someone to do some gardening work, and I didn't have a job. And she asked me if I'd be interested, and I said, yeah, I would be. I'm sleeping on Helen's couch. I've got no money. I don't know what's going on. So I went over there and saw the work and the garden, and it was incredibly huge, huge house in Surrey with a swimming pool, massive house, huge garden. They gave me a room, the family, and food and 10 quid a day in exchange for work in the garden, which was about 2 weeks. 2 weeks' work. 7 years later, I was still with them. They became my adopted family. Now, I never really had a family before. It was just alcohol and drugs and fighting. But now God had given me this family who loved me, who taught me, who welcomed me to the dinner table. They guided me. They cared for me. They even sent me out to Africa to work on a cousin's farm, their cousin's farm. They were very aristocratic. There was a lord and lady in the family. They were great fun, lovely bunch of Christians, this family. After 7 years, they had to move to Switzerland because of their coffee business. They were into coffee. I got offered it just at the same time. They couldn't take me to Switzerland, although I'd love to have gone, but a good thing that I didn't, because I got offered a job in a wonderful church in West London, a church plant from Holy Trinity Brompton. And I got offered a job there, that's where I met my darling wife, Sarah. But why I tell you this story is I was like this adopted son. Do you know, when that family took me in, I had all the rights and the privileges of a son. I had use of the whole house, the swimming pool. They gave me a car. When they went away, and they'd often go away for family holidays, ski trips, but I'd stay at home. But the entire mansion was mine. I felt so loved and accepted. I grew so much as a person. I was like just an adopted son in that family. I was loved and I belonged. Now, I tell you this story because if you are a Christian here today, if you've invited the Holy Spirit into your life, if you are seeking to follow and obey Jesus every day in your life, if you're seeking Him with all your heart, then you, like me, are adopted into the Father's family. And through the Holy Spirit, Jesus wants to speak to us directly and tell us things on a daily basis. We are all adopted in the family. Further, you have all the rights and the privileges of a son or daughter of God. Just as I had all the rights and the privileges of that house and everything connected to it, so you, as a son or daughter of God, have been given everything in Christ that you will ever need. And you are deeply, deeply, deeply loved and so special. From our gospel reading, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." But I think the Lord wants to say to one or two people here, I might be wrong, but do pray about it. Take this away and pray about it and think about it and bask in it. You are my son and my daughter, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Listen to me. Do you know the implications for prayer and listening to the Spirit and belonging to the family of the Trinity with all its privileges are so profound and so wonderful, more profound and wonderful than any big house in Surrey? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as we know, they are constantly in communion with one another. They're adoring one another. The family, the triune God, is an adoration of one another. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit giving glorifying love to one another. And we're invited, you're invited, I'm invited into the family. We're invited on a daily basis. Father God says, come to me. Come and experience my love, my profound love. I love what Timothy Keller writes in his book, Prayer, Experiencing Awe and Intimacy with God. He writes this, God is infinitely, profoundly happy, filled with perfect joy, not some abstract tranquility, but the fierce happiness of dynamic, loving relationships. Do you know, I think we need to capture that in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. That God isn't angry with you. God isn't expecting you to earn your way to his love. He just simply wants to invite you in, into the family, and for us to enjoy his fierce happiness, his perfect and profound joy. Do you know, all of us know that there's no higher joy than being loved and being accepted into a family and then loving in return. Well, we can all know that love and joy in unimaginable and infinite dimensions. You are my son and daughter, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. So with those words in your heart and your mind as you go from here today, carry them with you through the week. And maybe during the course of these next few days leading up to Pentecost, why not have a quiet time each day? Why not get on your own with your Father and tap into this dynamic love and happiness and joy that is yours rightfully through Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit? Come and join in the wave of prayer happening during Ascension to Pentecost. Come to the 24/7 prayer room. It's a great opportunity to spend more time in prayer than we would normally do. So our prayer, my prayer, is for a tsunami, a tsunami of God's love to sweep over us, to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Do you know, as I prepared for this, a song came to my mind. It's an old worship song. It says, don't let your love grow cold. I'm calling out, light the fire again. Maybe some of you know it. It's an old vineyard song. And it's based on the book of Revelation. And it's sort of saying, yeah, Lord, my love has grown cold. I need you to light the fire again. I need your Holy Spirit again in my life. And I feel that maybe one or two people might benefit from being prayed for and receiving the Holy Spirit in a fresh and a new way of receiving the Spirit of God and being prayed for. Maybe you want to receive the gift of speaking in tongues. We'd love to pray for you and explain to you how you could do this. Let's all stand together. I'm remembering, just be open to the Lord now, just opening our hearts and hands and minds to the Holy Spirit. Remembering a lovely verse, a bruised reed I will not break, a smoldering wick I will not snuff out. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would come now. Holy Spirit, come.